I'm up here at Anabaptist Financial with Timothy Stahlsfuss, and I think you've worked at this area for a while. You've been involved with young people, Anabaptist young people, quite a lot over the years. The thing that I was most interested was you did a survey of different Mennonite youth and then released those findings at the REACH conference back in 2017. So can you just guide me through what has your interaction been with conservative Anabaptist people, and in what context have you engaged with them?
Sure, yes. My wife and I served as a pastor on the pastoral team at our church for about 17 years, wow. 18 years, and that has given me a vision, you know, for young people. Previous to that, I also was involved in Christian school administration at a high school level for, and also as teacher for about 6 years.
Oh, wow.
So with those experiences and backdrop, you know, I've been, and we have 9 children of our own, Linda and I, that God has blessed us with. So we are involved in their lives and all the issues they're facing. And you're right, about 2 years ago, I did the survey with over 600 respondents.
Wow, that's
on the, from our a wide swath of our conservative Anabaptist constituency. And, you know, out of that, I really began to get a vision for the issues that our young people are facing. And I still remember when those responses started rolling in, and I actually got to start, you know, reviewing them. It just gripped my heart, the different issues that they're facing. And, you know, Reagan, I remember the one morning when I started reading some of the responses that had come in the previous night, and I got on my knees and wept before the Lord, and just the some of the pain and some of the difficulties that they're encountering.
So, based on your research, what would you say categorizes a young person as Anabaptist or Mennonite?
Well, Reagan, that's very hard to define, and I don't think I have the answer. But
we
I'll just give you my perspective.
Yes, we can try.
On that. You know, often we look at the external indicators, you know, clothes and the culture that we embrace. But really, what makes a person, you know, ideological or theologically a Mennonite is, or an Anabaptist, is much larger than that, of course. And I'm not sure that there's an easy answer for that. I think back to my own experience when I was about 21, I would see as the moment, the epiphany for me, when I began to really internalize and personalize my Anabaptist faith. I had been born in an Anabaptist home, I'd been raised that way, but about age 21 is when I began to see my worldview from an Anabaptist perspective. And so I think a lot of young people are grappling with that. It comes out in the way they, the things they do, the way they dialogue with their leaders, the books they read, but I haven't been able to pin just one thing down. I really believe that the focus that our generation has had, or the we maybe can call it a neo-Anabaptism that is emerging, I think a lot of young people are thinking these issues through. Is this the way I want to live? What does this mean for my generation? I think there's a wave that's starting to build, and I'm really excited about it.
Yeah.
They're embracing the tension between our ethnicity, our culture, and also wider evangelicalism. So I think there's a we're on the cusp of some really powerful next generation things happening in the Anabaptist in our culture.
That's really interesting. I think that's exciting.
Yeah, they're actually, I think they're kind of tired. One of the responses that we're going to perhaps talk about a little more is of the just the traditionalism, the almost legalism as they see it sometimes, and they want a vibrancy. They want something that's alive. They're not necessarily trashing or, you know, wanting to throw it away, but they want authenticity. They want something that's more authentic and relevant.
And maybe fresh?
Yes.
So out of the results of this survey, what did you see that, and Okay, let me just back up and just say, I think a lot of the people you surveyed were what we would say millennials, Generation Z, that age range. What did you see that they were valuing, and what were they doing well with, especially when it came to their Anabaptist faith?
Yes. Well, the average age was, I think, 21, 21 and a half, somewhere in
okay.
there. So that was definitely that generation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the questions I asked was, what do you appreciate about your Anabaptist, you know, culture, heritage? Mm-hmm. And it was very strong, the biblicism that we have, you know, the literal interpretation of the Bible, non-resistance, the culture of brotherhood, community, helping each other. That was probably that came through stellar, you know, just the community of believers.
And that was across all the different aspects of Anabaptist, because I'm sure you had a wide range of representation.
Yes, we had, I had over 20, I think, over 20 of our groups, all the way Amish through, you know, some of the old order groups, Mid-Atlantic, a lot of Beachy, Keystone, a lot of unaffiliated, some of the River Brethren, German Baptists, just a wide sampling of...
And that still came pretty strong across about all of those.
Well, that was, I didn't necessarily trace, you know, respondents back to their, the exact constituency group that they affiliate with, but the idea of brotherhood, of community, of strong Bible, just a literal interpretation of Scripture. Yeah, that was a predominant theme for what they appreciate, you know, about our faith. Some of the other aspects that they spoke to were family, you know, the strong family values. Mm-hmm. That was very appreciated. And just the heritage that they're given, you know, the parents, grandparents who care about them, and just the faith tradition, you know, that would come with our culture.
So we were looking at what they value, what they're doing well at, but then what are struggles that you saw?
You know, Reagan, that's where, you know, as a leader myself, as a parent, where my heart really went out. I mean, I rejoiced to see the strong response for what we're doing well, and that's kind of what I would have perhaps expected. I think the areas in which we don't get as good a mark were some of the struggles that I referred to earlier, with just a perception that we're trying to maintain a tradition, a culture that's not necessarily rooted in Scripture. Mm-hmm. And I think what's happening there is this generation is not seeing the biblical principles which are behind why we do what we do. So I saw that coming out. That was predominant, you know, like just a questioning about maybe legalism, what's perceived as legalism. You know, the strong biblicism that we refer to as a strength, the flip side of that then could be an overemphasis maybe on tradition.
And rules, maybe?
Yes, rules, strictness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're struggling with that. Along with that, the struggle to see church as culturally relevant. They are seeing outsiders as, you know, those from outside our Anabaptist tradition as hard to integrate into our church life. Mm-hmm. And they struggle with that. They wish it were easier to engage our wider communities. Mm-hmm. And so perhaps one of the areas which my heart bled the most is the struggles they are seeing and having with church disagreements, times when our churches have, we call them, you know, church splits. That's going hard for them, and a lot of them are really struggling with that. You could just feel the pain with a church split and the disagreements and the bickering and the fighting. I think we as leaders need to be very, very serious about that, because when we disagree and don't get along, it really does affect this generation, our children.
It sounds like a lot of what you're saying is centering around church. What about in their personal lives?
They were very honest with that as well. A lot of the questions I asked and they could respond to were questions about their personal habits and, you know, personal things that they're struggling with. So, yeah, areas of music, I was actually surprised and disheartened that many of this age group are really, I think up to 40%, were listening to, you know, secular music. Mm-hmm. And by their own admission, spending too much time online. One of the questions I asked was about their smartphones or, you know, mm-hmm. online habits.
Sure.
And by their own admission, I think 60% responded, "Yeah, I spend too much time online. I'll be admitted."
They freely offered that. That's interesting.
Well, it was one of the questions they could select.
Yeah.
And that was the highest, if I recall. So there's, you know, there's a lot of, in our culture or in mm-hmm. our modern world, there's just a lot of pressure there, you know, with online and social media. So they're aware of that. They're mm-hmm. aware of that, and that's good. Mm-hmm. And I know, just aside from that, I talk to young people, and I'm so encouraged when I hear them say, you know, I'm just going to take a fast. I'm going to take a social media fast for a month or two. And I talk to young boys, you know, young fellows, and I'm getting Instagram. I'm erasing it off my phone. I'm not, or Facebook.
Wow.
I'm you know, you're erasing the app, deleting the app, because I feel that it's a distraction to me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's so encouraging to me when I see, I think there's a wave of young people that want to do what's right, and they're realizing that there is a bit of mm-hmm. A struggle here that I need to just take control of my personal life.
It makes me have a lot more hope for this generation when instead of, they're like, wow, it's wasting too much of my life. I could be using this better.
I want to reclaim my time, my life, and they're aware that this is robbing me mm-hmm. of something better. And it's so powerful when they come to you know that on their own. You can legislate that or try to and, you know, mm-hmm. prohibit it, but it's powerful when they come to that conclusion on their own. One of the other pains that I see coming out, which again I believe our young people and our leaders are addressing, mm-hmm. is the area of singleness, and a lot of, I think it was about the second or third most painful thing that that a lot of them were facing, was either rejection in a dating relationship, mm-hmm. in a breakup, or just fears about, you know, am I going to be single the rest of my life? And that was actually one of the questions I asked on the survey was, you know, are you content with being single? Mm-hmm. Are you dating? Are you not? And I, you know, put all the statistics together. And that's a big one. A lot of them are struggling with singleness. And I think the age in which our young people are getting married is creeping up a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some work that we can do there to encourage our, mm-hmm. our young people and give them hope for finding mm-hmm. God's will in marriage.
Yeah, sounds like you have a lot of people who are asking a lot of questions and have a lot of deep hurts mm-hmm. and are genuinely searching for answers.
Yes.
And it's almost like they just need someone to point the way.
Well, that's what I gather, and that's where the hope that I saw through the pain, through the disappointments, mm-hmm. and through the sometimes, you know, honestly, disillusionments that they were having with our culture. I saw most of them are not wanting to just throw it away. They're wanting to, in fact, one of the questions I asked is, do you intend to remain an Anabaptist? And most strongly agreed with that. The majority strongly agreed with that statement. Uh-huh. So our young people are intending to remain an Anabaptist within the Anabaptist faith.
So an interesting thing we can look at historically is the Anabaptists tend to just, one generation does it this way and then they pass that on and then just keeps getting passed on. Mm-hmm. For better or worse, that's kind of how we've mm-hmm. transmitted our beliefs, our culture. Mm-hmm. This is just the way we've done it. Obviously, from what you've been saying, my generation, the millennials, they see that. Do you see that that's how they're going to continue passing on their beliefs, or are they going to kind of kick against that?
I think that's the big question for this next generation. I sometimes tell my boys when we are discussing, you know, aspects of are we going to do this? Are we going to do this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how's it going to look? I tell them, you know what? That's the question that your generation, and when your generation is in church leadership, mm-hmm. you're going to have to make those decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So what I see is, yes, there's this tension with biblical traditions, which other generations, applications which they made in their day, you know, with biblical principles in mind, and trying to flesh out scripture, how do we live? But those have kind of, we've kept those applications all the way through, and today they're maybe not as relevant as they were then, or they could maybe be, we could do it differently today and actually keep the spirit or the biblical truth a bit better. So I think our generation, your generation, is really going to have to apply that. But I see that, I think they're willing to do it. I have a lot of optimism that they're not just, well, here's the tendency. The tendency is to react and just throw the whole application away because it doesn't fit for today. Whereas I think they need to look through the lens of Scripture and how is this going, how are we going to apply it, you know, into our life? Because times have changed.
Yeah.
And rather than just being riveted to one application, we need to to be willing to see, you know, how can we apply this today.
Yeah.
So it may look different, and we as church leaders need to be probably comfortable with some some change, but a biblicism that's underlying, looking at through the lens of Scripture.
Yeah,
it's almost like a neo Anabaptism that has to emerge.
Sure,
I think so.
Yeah, sure. And it's not like they're just going, they're just not just, I'm just going to throw it all away. It's like, let's reanalyze what we have.
Yes.
That's very interesting.
And why are we doing this? What's what's the biblical principle, and how does it look for me in my time?
Yeah.
I think the young person in your generation is, see, we're all faced with a question, what culture am I going to embrace? And going back to my own experience again, when I was in college, it was actually my sociology class that helped me become an Anabaptist at heart, because the lights just all went on for me. It's like, everyone has culture.
Yeah.
Everyone, whether we're cultural beings. Mm-hmm. So I began to see the subculture, the Mennonite, you know, subculture that I was raised in a totally different light. Mm. Now, Anabaptism is much more than just, you know, primarily cultural, but that's inescapable. And that was the moment for me when I really began valuing the biblical traditions and faith practices that were in Anabaptism. And so I think in this generation and your generation, there'll have to be some more of that, and it may look a little different. But the biblical principles of why, what was Christ teaching? What does it mean to be an Anabaptist? I think they'll be the same.
Yeah, the principles don't change.
Right.
Yeah, the culture kind of ebbs and flows some. Yeah, that's important that our generation understands that and is okay with trying to understand the differences there.
But what are we going to do with the distinctive markers?
Yeah, yeah.
I think those are the sticklers. You know, the distinctive markers, often dress or outward. Mm-hmm. I'm not proposing that they, I don't think your generation is proposing they just all be thrown away, but they're wrestling with that. How does that, what are we going to do with those?
Mm.
Is that really what makes us Anabaptist? I'm excited because you, there's a wave of young people who are really spiritually alive, and they want vibrancy. They want authenticity. They're crying out for they're reacting to maybe some deadness that they see, and just a traditionalism that's maybe just a drumming and a harping on on these externals. And they're saying, no, there's more to it than that. You know, let's do it for love of Jesus. Or, you know, there's just a crying for that renewal. If you couple that with a young person who's not reactionary, but visionary, I think we can...
That's a pretty good recipe right there.
I think so.
Yeah, yeah, I like that. So you're not a doom and gloom person you look at this.
I don't think Anabaptism is dying out. I don't think it's conservative Anabaptism. I think it's alive and well. It's there's a lot of things to wrestle with, but I believe that we have a generation who will maybe just grasp and apply the, you know, scriptural truths in a new way, which may look a bit different, but I'm very excited about it. what your generation wants, Reagan, is you want relationships. You want authenticity. And I think where leaders and parents have failed often is in offering that and just that that relationship. One of the cries which came just bleeding through and through in these responses was when failures in relationships, especially with fathers, if there are any fathers listening, I just appeal to you. I think when I asked the question, what was the most painful thing that ever happened to you, I believe the top was death, a death of a loved one, or you know, separation through death. But the second was fathers, just alienation with dads, and dads being unfaithful, walking off, being uninvolved, passive. We've got to do better. And then leaders, church leaders as well. You know, there's a, I think a lot of church leaders are engaging their young people, but there's there's really, that's what you want. You want engagement, relationship, and not just, you know, on a human level, but also, you know, with God. It's exciting. It's exciting. I get so excited when I see young people who are making these decisions, and I just like, wow, let them go. You know, they're going to go far. I'm proud to see them. I'm very pleased with this, the decisions they're making, personal decisions. I see young young people who are taking their Christian life very seriously, studying the Bible, personal disciplines, and prayer, and you know, and fasting, and it's very powerful. I'm very encouraged.
So just kind of following up with what you just said there, what would you say to a conservative Anabaptist young person who might be listening to this interview?
Engage. Engage your pastors, your parents. Don't withdraw. I believe one of the natural tendencies for anyone who is hurt or goes through pain is to disengage and withdraw. So I would just plead with you to speak to your parents, speak to your leaders, let them know what's going on in your life, let them know the issues you're facing, be open. And I think most parents want to hear and help, most leaders want to hear and help. So rather than disengaging and becoming embittered through the hurt and the pain, engage and dialogue and resolve it, you know, through in that manner. The other thing I would really encourage your generation to do is to not react. You know, we were talking about the traditionalism and maybe the struggle with some of the rules and so forth, and church standards and practices. I would encourage young people to not react to those things and just throw everything away. If they see something that, well, what relevance does this have to today? You know, I just don't understand it. I don't see it. And often the tendency is, well, hey, if that's Anabaptism, I'm done. You know, I'm finished. You know, that's not even, that doesn't even make sense. But be willing to see things from, see, we need each other. Your generation, we need you. We need the vision that you have and the vibrancy that you have. We need the just the zeal, the energy. We need that. The church needs that. So, but then you need the balance of wisdom and experience. So we need each other. And I think for a young person to just not throw everything away because they don't feel they're being heard, or it's not applicable, or they don't understand. Just be willing to engage and dialogue. I remember hearing this story of a young person who, I think it was a son of a church leader, who he saw they were going through some church disagreements. And as I said before, church disagreements affect your generation, our children, very, very closely. It affects them very deeply. And I remember hearing the story of this young fellow who saw these bickerings, you know, maybe open disputes, you know, in church. And he said, you know, if this is Christianity, I'm done. And he actually walked away. He, as far as I know, he's not even a Christian. He walked away from his faith. Mm-hmm. Now, see, to me that's tragic. First of all, that he mm-hmm. had to react in that way. We must do better than that. We need to have our dialogues in a Christian manner so that our children don't, you know, struggle in that way.
Yeah.
But see, that's not, don't react in that way. The merits of biblical, right living or in a biblical biblicism doesn't rise and fall on one individual or even one church. Mm-hmm. You know, just because there's a failure here, you can't just throw everything out. You have to mm-hmm. look at it on the merits of what is actual truth, what is biblical. And so when there's a failure, especially in relationships, boy, it just clouds everything. You mm-hmm. just, you know, that's what I'm pleading with you. Don't overreact to that, to where mm-hmm. you just want to toss it all away.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
I just really excited how your generation, Reagan, is taking the stresses of technology and online habits and trying to bring balance. I think that's very needed. One of the questions I'd ask as well were about having purpose. Asking if there's purpose. And a large number of respondents felt they didn't have purpose. They were looking for purpose and looking for meaning. And I personally believe that an overemphasis on social media and on the virtual presence mm-hmm. can destroy, or it tends to erode that. It can bring discontentment, dissatisfaction. So I would plea with a young person who is feeling aimless and without purpose, mm-hmm. just get into relationships. You know, maybe, you know, mm-hmm. get off your phone and just actually, we're made to have to dialogue with people and actual, mm-hmm. And there's a place for, you know, for connections, you know, online connections, certainly. Mm-hmm. And we live in an age when we can have that. It's wonderful. Let's use it. But mm-hmm. let's not let it replace an actual, you know, authentic, you know, face-to-face communication. I think that's what we're made for, and that's what we really want. So we live in an age of a lot of connections mm-hmm. Electronically, mm-hmm. but I think it's getting thinner and thinner. It might be getting wider and wider. It's getting thinner and thinner, whereas a few close connections can actually give meaning and purpose, which that big online presence may actually erode and take mm-hmm. away. So I'm encouraging you to, your generation, to dig in and do the hard work of engaging people, you know, relationally.
So maybe someone listening to this podcast should turn it off now and go have a face-to-face conversation with someone about these things. I think that would be good.
And if this spawns some ideas, I'm really struggling with this or this, talk to your church leader. Don't be afraid to, you know, be open about dialoguing about the struggles that you're going mm-hmm. through. What does my faith mean? What does it look like? And why, you know, ask your parents, why do we do this? Mm-hmm. And that's one of the joys of being a parent, is to help our young people understand why we do what we do.
Yeah.
And that to me is exciting.
Well, thanks for sharing, and especially for your hard work in developing this research. I think people might be interested in knowing this is all up on your website, correct? All the results of this survey. So timothystallsfuse.com,
I
believe.
Yeah, that's correct.
Wonderful. So if people want to look into this more, I think especially pastors, church leaders, it could be really helpful to dive into the material you've developed.
I have the PowerPoint presentation.
Oh, good.
Along with the whole survey results, and mm-hmm. I did some, you know, charts and graphs and so forth, tried to pictorially represent mm-hmm. you know, all the data.
Yeah,
and so I would also say, if there's someone that really wants to analyze it further, feel free to email me. You can get my email or contact mm-hmm. There as well, and I can give you some more of the results if you want to analyze.
Well, thanks so much. Thanks for your time and for sharing this. I think this will be helpful to a lot of people.
You're welcome. God bless.
For more information about Anabaptist Perspectives, to read our blog, to donate, and to see videos of the conversations you hear on this podcast, visit AnabaptistPerspectives.org. We'd love to hear from our audience, so leave your feedback in the comments for this podcast or send us a message through our Facebook page. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back next week with another episode of Anabaptist Perspectives.
Thank you for listening to Anabaptist Perspectives. Your listening and sharing this with friends helps more people find our episodes. A special thanks to all of you who support Anabaptist Perspectives financially. We are here because of you. If you haven't had the chance to give yet this year, would you consider making a year-end donation? You can donate on our website or by check. Thank you so much for listening and supporting Anabaptist Perspectives. Thank you for joining us for this episode, and thanks to our donors and partners for making this possible. We publish essays on our website at anabaptistperspectives.org. We also release these essays in narrated form as their own podcast called Essays for King Jesus.